On the day of his ascension, Jesus leaves his disciples with a commission, a blessing, and a promise of the Holy Spirit. Our gospel today comes from the 24th chapter of the gospel according to Luke, beginning with the 44th verse. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance of forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I've got a scuff on my leg, and there's a story behind it. My wife and I needed a cabinet down in our basement to store some things. Decided that the best kind to get was one of those pressed plastic ones. You can pick them up at any of the big box stores. You put it together yourself. I had figured out which one it was that I wanted. I had scoped it out. I asked Jan if she would come with me to help pick it up because the box that it came in was big and awkward. It wasn't that heavy, but it was awkward. It was wide and it was long. And we got to the store, grabbed a cart, found our way to where they were, got the big box loaded onto the cart, went through the checkout, got back to the pickup, dropped the end gate. Everything is going swimmingly well. And I said to her, you know, I got it lined up so it's just a few inches in front of the end gate, so I'm going to be able to lift it without hitting the end gate. And I said to Jan, what I need you to do is just stand at the back of the cart and be dead weight. Maybe not the best use of words to your wife to ask her if she will be dead weight, but that's what came out of my mouth in the moment. So she stood there holding the cart. I lifted it up. It cleared the end gate. I said, okay, push the cart forward. She did. She went about 6 inches forward, and the box went down perfectly on the tailgate. I mean, you couldn't have planned it any better than this. And then I said to her, and here's where the problem comes in. I said to her, I need you to pull the cart back. Now, in my mind, what I said to her is, I need you to pull the cart back all the way out of the way. What she heard me say was, I need you to pull the cart back just a little bit so that I can lift this up, and then I'm going to push it forward and push this thing all the way in. Do you see there's a communication problem here? I didn't notice that she begins to pull it away, and I begin to push, and without looking, I stepped sideways to where I knew the cart wasn't going to be anymore, but it was still there. And I fell over the cart, and I scraped my leg, and the box dropped, and it fell off the tail of the end gate, and I got a raspberry on my leg, and it hurt for days. Where you put your eyes matters. What you look at and what you look for matters. In the book of Acts, we hear this incredible line that drew me again and again and again as I was reading these texts over the last couple of weeks. Men of Galilee, what are you doing? Just standing there looking up at heaven. So let me back up from this just a little bit. You'll remember that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are written by the same person. Written not at the same time, though. Luke was probably written first, And then sometime later, we don't know how much later, but sometime later, Luke writes a second volume. It is Acts or the Acts of the Apostles. It's the beginning of the church. They're not exactly the same. The gospel which was read this morning, that first chapter of Acts that are read, are telling the exact same thing, written by the exact same author, but he writes it a little bit differently. We get more details in the book of Acts about what is going on here and this call to the disciples that they are going to be the ones who will take the good news of Jesus Christ out beyond Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the world. And then I think they see Jesus leave in their midst. And my sense is it's not just a short time that they're standing, just staring into heaven and standing some more. And finally, after they've stood there a good long time, at least in my mind, these two men in white robes come along and say, "What are you doing? Standing there looking up into heaven." What I hear in the midst of that is if you stand here looking up into the midst of heaven, you are not going to be able to carry out what Jesus called you to do and asked you to do. Jesus was really clear. Go back to Jerusalem, prepare yourselves, get ready, because I'm going to give you this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. So just go and wait. And these two men in white shake them and say, "Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. Where you look really makes a difference." So for you and I think that that is the truth as well. We can't just be looking up. I think that we're called to look out as well. And as we look out, our first call is to look at who is right in front of us. Sometimes we get so used to driving the same drive that we don't notice the changes around us, or walking into the same place and we just expect everything is going to be the same, and we don't notice. Do you notice the people around you? Do you notice the friend or family members whose shoulders are slumped, who all of a sudden isn't as joyous or jolly and are just quiet? Do you notice, and do you go to them and try to be their listening ear? I don't think that we're called to notice just what's right in front of us. I think that we need to look out further as well. Because God has a mission for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be noticing what's way out in front of us, what is changing, what is different, what might be happening out there, and how we might need to shift a little bit to be able to be there and to do whatever God is calling us to out there. I think that takes a process of prayer. It takes a process of being together with others and talking about it and wondering what the future is and where we're being called. And I don't think that's just about the church. I think it's about our families as well. Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? What is it that you would have for us? And how do we get from here to there? Lord, lead us. But I also think we need to be watching who's beside us. We don't journey in life alone. There are other people. There are co-workers, there are friends, there are family members. How do we form a team together to care for one another and carry one another? To make sure that in our days of great joy, there is someone to celebrate with, someone that we can talk about those great things that have happened. Or in our days when we are low and are not certain how we're going to put one foot in front of others, that there are people to sit with who will pray with us or for us, who will hold us and carry us forward. Together, today, you're going to have the opportunity to be prayed for if you would like. So we will be celebrating Holy Communion a little bit later on, and in the midst of that, Pastor Mary Lou and I, one will be in that corner, the other will be in that corner. Communion will be served here. If you would like someone to pray for you for whatever it is, come to one of the corners and we'll pray for you and with you. Why? Because we're on this journey together. Why? Because sometimes we need to hear a personal word of prayer spoken over us for healing or renewal. So I think that we are called to look up, we're called to look forward, we're called to look to the side, but we're also called to look behind us. Not to return to what was. We are never going to go back to the glory days, whatever you name the glory days as, whether that was the 70s or the 60s or whatever. Sometimes we really want to go back there. That's really our desire. When I was in Stanley as the oil boom took off back in 2007, I was talking with a group of people, and they were bemoaning all of the changes that had happened in the community. This small community that all of a sudden exploded, and there were people all over the place. And I said to some parishioners, well, remember, you were praying for this. You asked that there would be an opportunity for your kids to return here and to be able to make a living. You just never envisioned that God would give an oil boom. You wanted 1960 to return. And they smiled, and we went forward together. We're called to look back, not to return to the past, but to look and see what it is that we can learn from our forefathers and foremothers in the faith, those who have carried the church for years and years and raised up sons and daughters in the faith. What can we learn from them to bring into this different day, to lead us and guide us and guard us? So we look forward, we look beside us, we look back. I also think we have to look at our feet. Because the ground sometimes is uneven and rocky. There might even be a cart there that you could stumble over if you don't look close. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Well, in the psalmist's time, a lamp was just this little clay pot. It burned olive oil. It didn't give LED-type light where you could see for 100 yards. It gave just a bit of light so you might see a step on the path in front of you to see if it's rocky or smooth, if you're going to be all right. We need to watch our feet. Taking steps carefully, knowing where we're going, praying that God would light the way. We started looking up, and the call of those disciples to stop looking up, but I think that we do need to end looking up, because we're called to praise and thank God. Whether we realize it or not, we are showered with blessings again and again and again. One of the greatest blessings around was as Rhea Joy was getting dressed into her baptismal gown, an incredible smile. And some of the other kids, right? The gifts of just the smile of a child. The beauty of the flowering crabs that are on the property here that are withering all too quickly. The gift of rain in the middle of the night. We prayed for it all summer last summer, and we got rain last night in the middle of the night. We have so much to be thankful for, and we are called to look up and give thanks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that our eyes need to be attuned to looking around in front, in back, beside, below, and up. Because God calls us to care for one another and to watch where God is leading us. Thanks be to God. Amen.